everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical Rx by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton.
Look in my eyes, what do you see?
Houston's only live and local evening sports talk. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Patrick Creighton with you. Joining us right now on the HR&B guest line, you find him talking college football every Saturday on CBS Sports Radio. I also host Drive Time on the Fan Upstate. That's Clemson Country in South Carolina. It's my buddy Mark Ryan. What's up, Mark?
Patrick Creighton, PC, what is good, my brother? We are approaching the college football playoff. We are approaching rivalry week, and I could not be more excited.
Things that are good right now, the Rockets are taking the Lakers behind the woodshed. And the Knicks are Randy Savage axe handle off the top rope, hammering the Spurs. So, you know, good things are going on in the NBA tonight. We're happy with this. Lots of interesting stuff going on in college football. Could not think of a better guy to talk about it with. So let's start with the dirty dirt. And that would be Ryan Day versus Jim Harbaugh. Every passing day, more and more juicy details come out about how much of a role did Ryan Day and Ohio State play in trying to set up Michigan for this huge sting type of thing. I don't feel like this should be surprising because this is what, you know, rivals who hate each other do. But how surprised are you by all this information that keeps coming out? And where do you think it's going?
Mark told me as a kid, when we lie, what a tangled web we weave. And you're beginning to understand the level of entanglement that is involved here. Patrick, my take is quite simply, Michigan should not be eligible for the college football playoff. If the Big Ten had a spine, if the College Football Playoff Committee had a spine, they would keep Michigan out. I think it's an absolute disgrace. And before anyone hits me with all this whataboutism, as I call it, whataboutism is a disease, and it's as elementary as going back to when you were six and your sister was four and mommy she hit me first and all that stuff. If you're guilty, you're guilty. If other schools are guilty, then they're guilty. You know, somebody else being guilty of the same crime doesn't make you any less guilty, right? So it's always, you know, it's always to me an excuse that I don't understand. They did it too. Because in the end, we know that Michigan was complicit in this. And if Jim Harbaugh didn't know about it, he damn well should have.
So you want them out right now, we're going to forego any due process and just, bam, you're guilty now.
Well, Patrick, like, I mean, what are the facts that we know? Okay, when you cheated in high school, or I cheated in high school, what did you get on your paper? You got a zero, right?
No, I got a
100. So you either cheated or you didn't cheat. And, gosh, Patrick, man, 30-second story time. We had a coach in geology class that knew my best friend and I, Aaron, weren't paying attention. Yet we were always getting A's on the test, right? And he put the answer key in his little tray before the class began. And in 10th grade, we got the answer key. He caught on to that. He put a fake answer key on there. We put all the wrong answers on the test, okay? What do you think we got on that exam? We got a zero.
We've
been watching Michigan dominate in college football. But we've been watching them dominate with inside information that other schools didn't have. And with that being the case, right, how do we know what they would be like if they weren't cheating? Well, Patrick, I'll tell you how we'll know. All right? I've got, and admittedly, this is anecdotal evidence, but it's incredible evidence. So Here you go. Michigan beats Ohio State last year 45-23, essentially doubling them up. You know that Georgia is a better team than Michigan is. In the very next game, Georgia plays Ohio State, beats them because Ohio State misses a last-second field goal 42-41. Now, how do you explain that? Well, you'd say, well, Mark, transitive property is a fallible recourse, which is true. But then how about this? Michigan plays TCU. TCU catches wind that Michigan is stealing their signs. They not only change their calls, they have dummy calls now. So, in other words, Michigan is looking at their calls, and they're thinking a certain call is a slant, and now it's a go route instead. And TCU beats Michigan. Then Georgia dehumanizes TCU in the final game. You know, it's to me, the evidence is overwhelming. You know Connor Stallions was involved in this. You know he spread the information to the coaching staff. He was instructed never to talk about it with Jim Harbaugh. And Patrick, I'm telling you, they're guilty of sin, and they should not be participating in the college football playoff.
Listen, I love your anecdotes on it, and I'm not debating whether or not they cheated. I just like is there an argument to be made that the process should play out before the punishment comes down, or we just want to skip that? Because if we start skipping the due process, what slippery slope are we setting ourselves up for? But yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I mean, look, Connor Stallions wasn't out there, pretending to be a coach on another team because, you know, he only had honorable intentions.
No, you're 100% right, man. And look, the reality is, in this case, you know, we're not talking about a crime here. We're talking about, do we have knowledge that they did something wrong or do we not? And in this case, we most certainly do. Okay, so in my opinion, we've got enough to move forward here, Patrick.
All right. Mark Wright, CBS Sports Radio, college football host on CBS Sports Radio, also host on The Fan Upstate, home of you do have to do in Drive Time, and why am I forgetting the name of your show?
Offside.
I wanted to say Out of Bounds, but that's the old show.
No doubt about it, buddy.
But yeah, Mark is a great listen and one of the best, most knowledgeable guys on college football that you're ever going to hear without all the, the fake pomps and circumstances of some mostly bald guy who wears glasses and gets yelled at and always chants SEC. Mark, let me ask you, because the college football playoff rankings are out. The top five teams are all 9-0. How would you rank their quarterbacks as we go through Kyle McCord of Ohio State, Carson Beck of Georgia? I don't even know if I should include J.J. McCarthy in this because I know where you stand on Michigan. Jordan Travis of Florida State, Michael Penix Jr. in Washington. How do you rank their quarterbacks of the five unbeatens, the top of the CFP?
You know, well, Patrick, that's an outstanding question, and I'm going to start with Michael Penix Jr. You know, Washington doesn't have much of a defense. They're 97th in the nation in total defense, but they're number one in offense. And he's a huge part of the reason why. It also just goes to show you how we judge players a little bit too early. So much is dependent on the situation. He was at Indiana and was anonymous there. Look what he's done where he is. Look, Patrick, I don't think Ohio State is a national championship caliber school. I'm not of that belief. Carson Beck, if Stetson Bennett was good enough at Georgia, Carson Beck certainly is. I think J.J. McCarthy is an outstanding player, and I think, unfortunately, he's getting a massively bad rap in terms of everything going on with him. And I think Jordan Travis is one of those guys, Patrick. It's his sixth year in college, right? It's just unfair. You know, when Florida State played Clemson, it's a 23-year-old against a 19-year-old. And, look, I understand why they all got the extra COVID year, right? It's a don't blame the player, blame the game thing. But Jordan Travis looks like an NFL player playing college football for Florida State. And, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with now. I want to see what they can do when he leaves. But we're close to being able to say here, Florida State just might be back.
How much does it hurt you to see Florida State being successful?
Listen, Patrick, listen. You and I are friends, Patrick. We began the interview as friends. I'd like us to end the interview as friends. So, you know? Hey, but I got something interesting to share with you here, brother. I did a study today on the last 10 national champions, right? And I was looking for commonality. And here's what I found. The last 10 national champions were all top 10 in the nation in either total offense or total defense. Now, let's say they were top 10 in total offense. So total defense would be their lesser of the two units, right? As long as they were in the top third in America, so roughly top 40 in that other skill set, they met the prerequisite to win a national championship. All of the 10 were top 10 in either total offense or total defense and were in the top third in America in the other one. So then you say, well, who does that make a national championship contender this year? And this is really interesting, Patrick. Oregon, Georgia, and Michigan are the three schools that meet the criteria of the last 10 national champions. And it's funny, for the last month, I've been saying these are the only three schools that I think are good enough to win a national championship.
So then that would lead into the next question. Best team outside the top five, you think that's Oregon?
I absolutely think that's Oregon. Man, look, number 2 overall offense, number 18 overall defense. Dan Lanning and what he's doing on that defensive side of the ball to combine with Bo Nix. Look, this is one of the schools, Patrick, that is primed to elevate themselves the most in the NIL era when you consider Phil Knight, when you consider Nike, when you consider the branding that they've done. 15, 20 years ago, Patrick, they were as nondescript as any mediocre Power 5 program. And if I say to you, who is the picture of mediocrity in the Power 5? You might think of like Minnesota. You might think of NC State. You might think in a typical year, Missouri, even though they're better than that now, right? Oregon was that school. And then they got rid of the stupid duck, and they changed up their uniforms. They started playing a breakneck speed of offense. Phil Knight started to buy into what they were doing, and now we've entered the NIL era. And, man, I'm telling you what, that team, that program is one to watch in this era. And you might remember Washington beat them 33-30. Well, the game was at Washington earlier in the year. Every single break in that game went Washington's way. Oregon is going to absolutely decapitate them in the rematch.
That is a game I can't wait to watch. That's going to be a phenomenal game. This is something I want to ask you about, because game that I am very much looking forward to is the SEC title game. And Jalen Milroe, who, listen, I think I called damn near every single one of his high school football games because he went to the same high school my kids go to. And it looks like Alabama has finally kind of figured out how to run the offense with Jalen Milroe. You know, obviously they can't run the same offense they ran with Mac Jones, et cetera. Can Alabama be the stalking horse that takes down Georgia because maybe Georgia's quarterback isn't all that good?
Yeah, you know, the fascinating thing, Alabama's offense is still just 72nd in the nation, but they're one of the teams that has improved the most, and they're beginning to resemble the Alabama of old. You know, Alabama, there's no doubt about it, they're in a transition year. But you know how you know Saban's the GOAT? In a transition year, they're 8-1. In a transition season, Clemson is 5-4. Okay? See the difference? In a transition season, Florida is 5-4. Alabama is 8-1. And it's interesting. I spoke to Josh Pate today at 24/7 Sports, and he was speaking with somebody within Alabama and talking about Percy Harvin. Remember the former Florida Gator, Minnesota Vikings, Seattle Seahawks? And they said, Percy Harvin exists in college football today, and his name is Jalen Milroe. He just plays the quarterback position. They have figured out how to best utilize his skill set. And, man, I'm telling you, we are poised to be seeing potentially a top five matchup in the SEC championship game, one in which, if Alabama wins, maybe there's two teams going to the playoff from the Southeastern Conference.
And that's going to tick off at least two different conference commissioners, because that means two people are getting left behind.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it, man. So are you of the belief, Patrick, that the 12-team playoff is going to be good or bad for college football?
I think it's going to be great for college football because it's going to be way more money. It's, you know, more TV. It's more TV money. It's more stadium money. It's more money going into the schools. It's more time for you and me to watch more college football. So the opportunity to watch more higher-end college football, I am going to take that. And I understand that in a lot of seasons, there aren't 12 teams who can win the title. There's 3, 4, 5, and some of these games might be ass kickings. But I would rather watch an amazing team beat the snot out of a really good team than watch reruns of some really bad movie from 25 years ago. So give me the extra college football so that I have something to do on Saturday, as opposed to getting a honey-do list or bad reruns or something I don't want to watch.
And that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. By the way, on that note, I got to tell you, man, Central Time Zone is the best time zone on Earth. You have very little time to tend to the honey-do list before the gold standard excuse of the games are on honey comes to fruition.
11 o'clock, time to go. Hey, man, one more for you here. Shedeur Sanders, according to his father, Deion Sanders, is going to stay in school another year. Good move, bad move?
It's a fantastic move. This field is so crowded at the quarterback position. I was talking to Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus over the weekend, Patrick. He's telling me we could have a record 6 quarterbacks selected in the first round of the NFL draft. Look, you got a bunch of teams, especially at the top of the draft. I was looking at the draft order. All these teams need a quarterback. At the same token, you know, Shedeur Sanders deserves the right to stand out. And if you think about, you know, if he has any desire to help his dad build something at Colorado, next year is poised to be much better than this one ever could be. They just don't have the pieces, man. They essentially, Patrick, got 15 to 24 and 5-star players, and then you and me back there. And I don't know about your 40 time, but my 40 time begins with 40 seconds. So I get the sense that he's making a good decision there. I really like what he's about. I love his ability. I think he could use a season more of seasoning before it goes to the NFL. Most interestingly, I thought it was fascinating. Deion Sanders was on Dan Patrick and said he's not ever going to go coach in the NFL. And I think that was the biggest concern. So he could be potentially a long-term Colorado hire, and that's not something any of us thought.
You mean 40 time? Is it how fast I can down a 40?
Exactly right. Man, you know what it's like, man. I don't know. When was the first time, Patrick, you had a realization that you could no longer do something athletically that you once could? Like a few years ago, man, I went to go jump up and touch the rim. I couldn't do it anymore. And I was convinced that the problem wasn't me. It was that rim was higher than 10 feet. I was convinced of that. You know, find another rim. I can't touch that one. Man, that was a sad day for me.
I actually didn't have that realization. It was given to me. I was getting to the point where after I'd play, say, on Sunday night, I'd come home and Monday morning I could barely move. And Tuesday I was still walking kind of stiff. It'd take me till Wednesday to kind of shake out and get back to normal. And then you played on Wednesday night, and Thursday I could barely move. And then Friday, you're really stiff. And you're finally feeling good by Saturday. You play Sunday night, and then you're back to, I can't move again. And it was put on me by a particular mother of children that I needed to stop playing because I spend too much time unable to move after I play. And I foolishly gave in. And once you give in, you get old. Like, that's it. Like, once you stop playing, all of a sudden you start aging way faster. If I could change it, I would never stop playing. I'd live with being sore. I'd live with the pain. Maybe I'd try to get myself, you know, to a doctor so that I wouldn't be in so much pain back then. But once you quit, once you stop playing on the regular basis, you age so fast. So don't do it. Don't give it up. It doesn't matter how many fights.
Use it or lose it, brother.
Do not give it up.
Use it or lose it.
My man Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, the fan upstate in South Carolina with us on the HRMP guest line. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Mark Ryan on air. My brother, always appreciate you. We'll talk soon, man.
I can't wait, brother. Have a great one. Take care.
All right, Mark Ryan with us on the HRNP guest line. Coming up next, we're going to play Five Reasons with BMAC. Late Hits.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out, door.
I will not be murdered wearing a blue and white plastic cone on my head. It's positively undignified.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Real quick, a little shout out to my girl, Carolina Teague, who can't wait to have back on soon. She and I have a bet. And if you know anything about our betting history, I've never lost a bet to her.
So, okay, so you're taking bets you fully intend to cash in on then.
So
you feel like you're taking advantage of the situation a little
bit? She and I have a bet of which NBA team will have a better record at the end of the season, the Rockets or the Spurs.
Okay.
Well,
Rockets are getting their fourth win tonight.
The
Rockets above 500.
Are 4-3 after beating the Lakers by 34?
In which Boban got in towards the end and started making plays. You know things are clicking on all cylinders when Boban is getting off the bench, not eating his goldfish, and making hoops.
The Spurs are 3-5 after getting drubbed by 21 at Madison Square Garden, a place that Victor Wembanyama said didn't look that big.
He said some weird comments. I remember during the summer league, he had a comment about how he wasn't very impressed by the physicality of NBA players. Like, bro, it's summer league. What are you talking about?
Just for the record, Wemby was 4 of 14 tonight, and a team worst -25. So Wembanyama, you can suck it. And for the Rockets, who waxed the Lakers, 128-94, where Jalen Green had 28 on 11 of 15. Alpi had 19-7. LeBron James, who called himself chosen, -24.
I mean, the whole bag. I would assume everybody on the Lakers was a minus at this point. The Rockets just beat them. I mean, think about if Steph Curry hadn't just gone all Steph Curry and won that game in the final few minutes in the Rockets' fourth game of the season, and the Rockets hold on to, albeit a brief fourth quarter lead that they had in that game. You're talking about the Rockets being 5-2 with wins over the Lakers and the Warriors.
LeBron.
I mean, they're a few minutes away from having a really. I mean, 4-3 is still good considering what we've been through, but 5-2 would have this city really excited.
LeBron had this tweet about how he's chosen. Well, apparently he's chosen to freaking lose. Eat the bag.
You really hung up on this chosen thing, huh?
Look,
I mean, that goes back to the SI cover when he was like 17.
Yeah, LeBron. LeBron is a great player, but every time he opens his mouth and says yet another idiotic thing, I just want him to lose so badly, so badly.
Maybe Wemby is on that track.
He's getting there.
He's saying a lot of dumb things
right now. He's talking a lot of smack about MSG and then was team worst, -25. Suck it. Let's get to Five Reasons with BMAC.
All right, so I feel like there's been some negativity around the Houston Astros following the World Series loss, and I wanted to give the five reasons why tonight that the Astros dynasty is not over, and they will still continue to be an elite team, or the elite team amongst all the other MLB good teams in Major League Baseball
right now. Hold on a second. Are we talking baseball with NFL music?
No, this is, well... Unless it's labeled incorrectly, it's labeled as MLB on Fox, Ben.
Is this the MLB on Fox?
Yeah, this is the MLB on Fox.
You know,
yeah, that's the MLB on Fox.
It is the MLB on Fox. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I don't recognize theme songs very well, not going to lie.
I was just trying to have a little bit underneath last time we were doing the NFL theme films music.
Yeah, they all sound the same anyway.
Yeah, I mean, my last time I did this was Reasons Why the Texans Would Beat the Panthers.
That guaranteed they're all written by the same guy anyway.
That didn't...
Somebody call Danny Elfman. We need another score.
All right, so the five reasons why the Astros dynasty is not over and the Astros are going to keep right on rolling into more ALCSs, more World Series, and more titles. Reason number one, look, I know it feels like this guy has been around for quite literally a million years, but Kyle Tucker's only had three full seasons at the major league level. There's still a chance, and he's coming off a year where he set career high in stolen bases, RBI, runs scored. We saw all his slash numbers jump up from 22 to 23. There's a chance that Kyle Tucker can get even better. So I know we're all kind of soured on what Kyle Tucker did in the postseason, but reason why, number one, why the Astros are definitely not done with this dynastic run is I really do think there's a chance that Kyle Tucker could play even better than what we've seen so far.
Kyle Tucker is only going to be 27. He absolutely could continue to get better as he kind of hits the peak of his career here.
Yeah, this is kind of the peak mature, physical maturity age right now what he's entering.
I also think because of his contract status, he might be very motivated
to put
up the best numbers he can because payday be coming here or somewhere else. Check!
You're in agreement with that. I think we'll be in agreement with this one as well. Let's run off a list of players here, Patrick. Jose Urquidy. Ryan Presley, Jose Altuve, Luis Garcia. What do all those players have in common? They all played in the World Baseball Classic. The World Baseball Classic is not back until 2026. So the Astros have at least the next two seasons. Oh, by the way, the seasons that a lot of their key players are locked up through. They have at least the next two full seasons when the World Baseball Classic will not impact their roster, which obviously, as all Astros fans remember, from back in March and April, it impacted their team greatly this year.
Thank you, baby Jesus, because as much as the games themselves are fun to watch, these guys treat it like it's the Olympics, everybody who plays in them struggles in the regular season, especially the pitchers. The more pitchers who play in these games, the more guys... velocity is down, their command is off, they have lousy seasons. And that is not a this year phenomenon. That is a since the WBC started phenomenon. It is the reason why the Astros went to Framber Valdez and said, hey man, you really don't want to do this, right? I mean, we kind of need you to be the ace. Please don't do this. Could you imagine Framber pitched for the WBC?
No, God.
The Astros might not have won 85 games.
Yeah. I mean, as up and down as Framber was over the course of the season, I can't imagine if he was dealing with the funky, ramp-up period caused by the WBC and also just the extra innings and extra wear and tear on his left arm if he had to deal with the WBC. It could have been, as bad as it was down the stretch, it could have been a lot worse. All right, reason number three.
Check on that.
All right, we're two for two. And we mentioned this earlier in the show. No more playing games with Yonder Diaz. The days of having to deal with Dusty's gut and Dusty's instinct and Dusty ignoring analytics are over. Yonder Diaz, as named by Dana Brown, the general manager, will be the Houston Astros starting catcher. And look, I know, obviously, he's a catcher. He's not going to play 162. But I give this number just to give out how great he was this season. Yonder Diaz, if you pace out his numbers that he got this season, over 162 games, we're talking about a player that would hit for 36 home runs as a rookie catcher. I mean, we just talked about Kyle Tucker only playing three full seasons so far in his career. Yonder Diaz, I mean, he had 350 at-bats he had this season.
It's about a half a season.
That's about half a season, right. So we're talking about half a season for Yonder Diaz. In which he was already showing 162 game pace of 36 home runs. If he is your everyday starter, as Dana Brown has said, playing, let's say, I don't know, 115, 120 games behind the plate plus some more at DH.
I think if you work out behind the plate plus DH, he could get to about 120 games.
Yeah.
I think that's about the magic number.
I was hoping for a little bit north of that. I agree with you, behind the plate, it's, you know, like about 110. But anyway, regardless, if Yonner Diaz is your starting catcher, plus he's getting the DH time, they could have unlocked a power bat in the lineup that the Astros have not really had, especially coming from catcher, almost ever in the franchise's history.
Well, you know, Jason Castro had that 1 year.
He was an all-star. He was an all-star.
I'm going to add to that. Yiner full-time plus Chazzy full-time.
Yes, 100%. I could have gone like 9 deep with this list, but I had to cut myself at 5. But you're absolutely right. Check. All right, number 4. There's a lot of, obviously, a lot of conversation about, you know, when's Kyle Tucker, you know, is Kyle Tucker going to resign? Are they going to re-sign Bregman past the next couple years? You know, what's it look like when Fromber comes up free agency? Well, one thing I will guarantee to you, Patrick, is Jose Altuve will never leave Houston during his Major League Baseball playing career. He will always go be a Houston Astro. As we've talked about before, Jim Crane, there's certain areas of the team building that he basically takes over control of. Justin Verlander coming to and from being one of them. Jose Altuve, Jim Crane will not let him leave the city of Houston. If you're worried about players leaving once their contract is over, let's scratch Jose Altuve's name off the list. He will retire as a Houston Astro, having played all his Major League games as a member of this franchise.
You know what? Check. I think that Jose Altuve...
Jim Crane's not going to let him leave.
He wants to be an Astro for his career. He has said as much. And, you know, he stated this at the beginning of last year. He wants to be an Astro. He also said he wants to play until he's 40. So you're talking about
He's 33 now, right?
7 more years. He's got 1 more year on the deal. So you're talking about a 5-year contract that'll run him through.
They're going to sign him for long enough for him to get to 3. Assuming he doesn't start getting hurt, but they'll sign him for long enough for him to get to 3,000.
There's a precedent for the Astros signing guys to their 40.
Yeah, I think Biggio got 3,000 at age 41. So yeah, Altuve could stick around that long.
And I think that is exactly it. I think they recognize Jose Altuve is going to be a Hall of Famer. He is. Look, he needs 953 hits to get to 3,000. You got to figure that's 6 seasons, 5 seasons,
because of
the injuries.
Right,
that's 5 to 6 seasons.
I don't have the math in front of me now, but when he got to 2,000 hits, I did the math of what his average hits per game was, his average games played per season, and it basically worked out at right about 5.5 seasons.
I mean, look at it this way.
So he can get there by age 40.
He essentially lost almost the whole season in 2020 because of the BS season.
Right.
And then the broken hand, the broken thumb this year. I mean,
he had the oblique injury, too.
He missed 72 games this year. He missed nearly half the season. And in that 90 games he played, he had 112 hits. So you figure if he'd have played his usual 145, he probably would have had 160 to 170 hits. If he pops out, let's say, 160 hits, 5 years, that's 800. So he needs 6 years at 160 hits. That's 960. He needs 953. So 6 years, the end of that sixth year, he'd be rocking 3,000.
Yeah, I think he will get that 3,000th here, 3,000th hit here in Houston.
I think Jose Altuve will be an Astro for life.
So we're not, 4 for 4
not
then.
Not sure about Breggy.
I'm not sure on him. He's not on this list. I'll go ahead and spoiler alert the final one here. I can see Bregman leaving. All right, final reason here on my list of the 5 reasons the Astros dynasty is far from over. Look, I don't want to say that I'm taking these numbers to the bank because they're absolutely ludicrous. But it's just to point out how freaking amazing Jose Abreu was down the stretch after returning from the IL from his back injury. Patrick, if I had you guess what Jose Abreu's 162 game pace after returning from the injury through the rest of the regular season, what his 162 game pace was for RBI, what would you guess?
So we're talking about from the end of August.
August 23rd through October 1st. What's his 162 game pace for RBI?
All right, if I'm just going to guess this completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 140.
Way too low. 178, Patrick.
He's going to be Hack Wilson.
He was on pace from August 23rd through October 1st. Like, we all, I think, anecdotally said, man, Jose Abreu looks a lot better since he came back. But when you look at the numbers, he was on pace over 162 games for 42 home runs, 178 RBI, all while having an OPS above 800. It was at 845. I mean, look, he's not going to hit 42 and 178, obviously. But Jose Abreu, the Jose Abreu the Astros thought they were signing, they got that and more down the stretch. So if Jose Abreu, if that back problem that hurt him throughout the first half of the season is now a thing of the past, we talked about unlocking something they didn't have with Yonder Diaz. They haven't had that power bat at catcher. They're unlocking a completely different version of Jose Abreu that they had over the first half of the season that had people trying to blame GM Jeff Bagwell.
Jose Abreu, postseason, 295 average, 945 OPS, 4 homers, 13 ribs in 44 at-bats.
So you're saying it continued?
Look, Abreu has hit his entire career. I don't think that he's suddenly going to stop hitting sans injury, right? He was injured. He didn't hit. They got the injury fixed. Well, he hit like Jose Abreu.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people talk about his power dipping the last year in Chicago, but he was still hitting over 300. He was still driving in a
ton
of runs.
And he hit a truckload of doubles. And the reality is, I would guarantee you that back injury that he dealt with early this year, he was dealing with it then, too.
Probably so.
You know, guys don't talk about injuries, especially older players who are from foreign countries.
Guys trying to get a new contract.
They don't talk about injuries because, you know, it's in their head, hey, if I get hurt, I'll get cut. They'll just throw me out the door. But, yeah, when you're trying to get your next contract, you're shutting the hell up about it. The bigger issue is, why did the Astros let the injury linger for so long? Why didn't they identify this in May and say, you know what, we're going to sit you down for 2 weeks now so that we can get you strong for the rest of the season? They let this go on for 5 freaking months. Trainers, I'm looking at you. What the hell? I have issue with the way they handled.
No, I mean,
and we know that, you know, discomfort. They don't like to talk about any kind of discomfort until the discomfort is so bad the guy can't freaking walk. If they'd have just nipped it in the bud in May, he probably has a 31-10 season.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same franchise that last year didn't know which hand Yordan Alvarez hurt. So I mean, their track record with disclosing injuries and handling it in the best way possible is not a sparkling clean.
All right, so we got one more.
Sounds like I went 5 for 5.
You checked all the boxes today, VMAC. You checked all the boxes. One more segment to go. We'll obviously have a lot on the Texans tomorrow as we get closer to start getting ready for Sunday against the Bengals. So coming up next, time for a little WTF. Next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassy.
Penguin goalie Peter Skudra says, hey, try not to shoot that puck up my pooper. I'll shoot the puck anywhere I want. And if that happens to be in your pooper, so be it.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, and by MedUS.
Minute here for Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring, because 4 years ago, Dr. Ben changed my life and gave me the gift of no more sinus infections and the ability to sleep through the night. And all I had to do was go see him and talk to him for 30 minutes. And he had figured out what was going on. He's the only doctor that I had been to in over 20 years, over a half a dozen different doctors in 2 different states, that was able to figure out why I had a sinus infection every other month for 20 years. And it turned out, well, I had staph infection in my sinuses. And none of these other doctors ever bothered to find out about it or look into it. Only Dr. Ben took the time to find out what was the cause of my issues. Wound up having a procedure with Dr. Ben, surgically removed that staph infection. They did a balloon sinuplasty to open up my airways, which were almost 94% blocked from all the dead and damaged tissues in my airways caused by that infection. And they did a septoplasty. They fixed my deviated septum that I didn't even know I had. 4 years later, I haven't had a single sinus infection. I haven't even had a sinus headache. Oh, and the horrible snoring that I used to have is gone because my airways are open. If you deal with sinus issues, snoring issues, if you deal with sleep apnea, maybe you're using a CPAP machine. Maybe you're supposed to use a CPAP machine and you're not. Well, you don't have to deal with any of that anymore. Just go see Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Let him do for you what he's done for me, what he's done for dozens of late hitters and thousands of people around the greater Houston area, and let you break the cycle and breathe. All right, time for a little WTF. Now, Disneyland is supposed to be the happiest place in the world, right, Brian? It's supposed to be a family-friendly environment.
That's what I've heard.
Where you bring your kids and everybody is happy. Am I getting old that I believe in time, place, and manner, Brian?
I have a feeling if you have to ask the question, the answer is probably yes.
An OnlyFans model.
Okay, I'm with the story so far. I'm
decided
liking where this is going.
That she was going to walk through Disney, and she's in Disneyland Paris. Decided she's going to walk through Disney, happiest place on earth, wearing a shirt that says, "She wants the D," wearing painted on pants and hooker high heels, doing videos to promote her OnlyFans page. She is basically dressed up like the world's biggest hooker going through Disney.
I mean, I'm looking at the photos. I mean, she's not showing any cleavage. I mean,
No, but her shirt is very tight, and those fake breasts are literally popping out of her shirt. And I'm sure every 8-year-old and 10-year-old is like, "Mommy, why does she have two bowling balls under her shirt?"
I mean, you could see that anywhere. I mean, kids that are growing up now could see that anywhere,
and she's
anytime, any place.
Slapping her butt, and, you know, grabbing herself and holding her boobs, and like, I feel like this is not the appropriate behavior for Disney. Not the main Disney park.
Well, it's not the main Disney park. This is Paris.
Oh, it's the main Disney park. It's not, you know, Pleasure Island at, you know, midnight where they got the club scene going on. This is the main Disney park where you've got Snow White and the dwarves and Mickey and Goofy and Pluto, and all the little kids are out there. Like, I feel like you're a hoe. You're a hoe.
I disagree. I could see why you have that reaction, but unless to me she's, you know, going up to kids and talking to them in a way that parents would object to, or if she's showing a ton of skin in these videos, she's not. I don't know.
Those pants are pretty painted on. I mean, nothing to the imagination.
Okay, the parents take the kids to the mall. They could see that too. The parents take the kids to the park, and then, you know, someone's
I didn't pay $7,000 to go to the mall, Brian McDonald.
Well, depending on what store you go to, you certainly could.
All right, our second story. You know that I have long believed that the person with the most hate has the most to hide. And people who speak out the most about homosexuality, LGBTQIA, XYZ, X plus minus.
Hurricanes, you know that.
You know, people who speak out the most about, you know, vaccines. The more you talk out about it, the more you're hiding your own, you know, see Lauren Boebert. The more you're hiding your own nasty, filthy, horrible skeletons. So a mayor in Alabama and Baptist pastor named Bubba Copeland.
It feels like that's so stereotypical. It feels like you're making it up. A Baptist in Alabama named Bubba
Copeland, who has you know, had some FaceTime with President Donald Trump. Got so much praise for him for how they handled some kind of natural disaster. He's a, you know, mega conservative, you know, anti everything. It turns out he was a closet trans person.
That's not the first, not the last. I'm not surprised to hear that.
He was dressing up online as a transgender curvy girl.
Going through Disneyland's with a shirt that says he wants the D?
No shirts.
Okay.
He was a trans girl named Brittany Blair.
Hmm.
And he was posting some very revealing photos of himself in women's clothing, doing trans porn, no clothing. And he got outed by a conservative website that caught on to what he was doing. So he decided that he could not handle the pressure of answering for all of these things. So he ate a gun.
Well, that took a turn.
And while it's tragic that he decided he was going to end his life, it is 100% on brand. Person spewing the most hate is actually with all kinds of nasty behavior in the closet, all kinds of dirty secrets. The people who speak out and hate the most are really just closeted, and they don't want the world to know. People who yell and scream about homosexuality are closet homos. People who yell and scream about trans people the loudest, they're closet trans. It never fails. The people who yell and scream about religion the most are cheating on their wives or scamming money or both, or having affairs with the pool boy and threesomes like the Falwells, or they want people to drown like somebody down the block. The more people try to make themselves look like they are holier than thou, the more they are really scum. And that will never change. Also, Taylor Swift hosting a party for some Chiefs wags while they were in Germany. The wife of tight end Blake Bell, former Chiefs backup Shane Buechele.
Hook 'em.
And, of course, Brittany Mahomes,
yeah,
all hanging out at Taylor's pad in New York City to watch football, because every day we cannot go through a day without at least five stories on Taylor Swift and the NFL crossing paths. I want to thank my man Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, BMAC on the other side of the glass, our callers, texters, tweeters, and twitchers. We're back tomorrow at 8 o'clock after the Rockets kick the hell out of LeBron. You have a great night. It's time.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
The worm is the spice. The spice is the worm.